Okay, let's start. Perek Dalet Ois Dalet and page Sadi Dalet. Ish Achtus Mitoich Ribuyim V'Yish Ribuyim Mitoich Achtus. There's a unity. There's unity from multitude, and there's multitude from unity. Ha'achtus Shemitoich Ribuyim Einena Achtus V'Tam Ribuyim Ba. The achdus that comes from multitude is not unity, and it has the taste of multitude. It's not a real achdus. L'chein, ha'achdus ha'elyoina, therefore, the achdus ha'elyoina, the higher, the upper, the referring to the Rabbeinu Shalom's Achdus, unity, Shakol Mimenu Mizborech, that all from it is blessed, V'chol HaRibuyim Mimenu Boim, and all the multitude comes from it, U'Mimenu Mizborechim U'Mizhavim, and from that Achdus, everything is blessed and comes into existence, Hu HaEchad HaAmiti, that is the true one, with all the different types and possibilities of true oneness. Not mitzad. He's not echad. He's not one only in the sense that everything is included within him. He's simply one because everything flows from him. And he is one and not two. Okay, there's no second to him. He's one without. He's one in the sense that there's no second to him. There's nothing, no oneness like his oneness. Okay, it's a unique oneness. Ve'omnam, however, ba'achdus emes zu makirim rak Yisrael am. First of all, let's just make sure we have the two sides, the two ideas of achdus clear. Right, one is. You can have a concept of achdus, of something that's has unity to it, in the sense that it has in it everything. That is not the achdus that we're speaking about when we refer to the achdus of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah's achdus is much higher than that. It's an achdus of pure oneness, that everything comes out of that oneness. But it's an achdus on its own. It's not an achdus because it includes everything in it. It's an achdus because it is just pure oneness. Everything comes out from that oneness. Okay. The omnam. However, ba'achdus emezu, in this true achdus, this true unity, makirim, or yeah, okay, makirim rak Yisrael am kedoshay, only the Jewish people, his holy nation, recognize. Ma'ashenkin shara amim, gamim b'fiyem oim v'echad. As opposed to the other nations, even if with their mouths they say they believe in one God, that God is one, right? Which is basically all the other monotheistic religions, right? Although there are other religions that also say they believe in God being one, but their one is a very different one than our concept of one. Their heart imagines only one mitzad from the side of it, including the multitude that becomes unified in him. In other words, their concept of oneness is that, let's say, they don't agree with other, let's say, mythological type of religions, which that there were many different gods, and they say, no, there's not many different gods because the power of rain is included in the one God, and the power of the sun is included in this one God. All the different powers are included in him, and therefore he's one. That's their concept. Their concept of God is that he's all inclusive. He includes all the different powers that we see in the world. All right, the multitude of powers is all in him, and is unified by him, in him. And that's why they call him the God of Gods. Like all the gods are in him. He includes within him all the gods. Meaning his godliness stems from the fact that all the powers are included in him. But not like these is the portion of Yaakov. You know, the Jewish people's concept of Hashem's oneness is not like these, like not like these nations. Ha'omrim, right? Because the Jewish people say, "Shehu echad, he's one." Shekol haklolos sheboy bebchinas achdos muchlata, that the whole everything that's in, so to say, within him, that's included within him, it's not just that it's a bunch of things that are unified within him, but rather that the, everything that's within him is in a pure, absolute oneness. And just that all the multitude of different things and powers in the world come from him. They come from that pure, 100% absolute oneness. The difference kind of would be that if you would try, according to the Goyim, his whole oneness and godliness is built off of the fact that he's all-inclusive, that he includes everything in it. In other words, did he not include everything in him, then he's not one, and he's certainly not Hashem Echad. He's certainly not God is one. But Klal Yisrael's concept is the opposite direction. It's Hashem is one just by virtue of pure oneness. That's what God is. From that oneness flows forth the multitude of koiches in the world, the multitude of powers that we see in the world. But his oneness is not defined by them. They're an outcome of his oneness. They come from his oneness, but his oneness is not defined by them. Whereas the Goyish idea of Hashem is one is defined by him including all the multitude. Ukimochen, similarly, Yachas Adam Lenafshe, the relationship of man to his soul. Okay, the relationship of a person to his soul. Im Yavinit Nafsho. If man understands his soul, right, his concept of his soul is in the idea that he has many different angles to him, many different, a multitude of koiches that are unified within his soul, that come together in his soul. So he's putting precedence, right? He's preceding the multitude to the soul. O memela, right? Memela lo yochel litein lo shaletet bilti mugbeles. And automatically that means that he's not able to give an infinite control or unbound control to the soul. Loy kein, that is not true. Im yavin, if he will understand. Shanefesh hi achas, that the soul is one. O mimena kol tzva hakochot, and from that soul, which is one, comes forth all the host of powers. Harei ha-nefesh kodemes la-ribuyim. In that way of understanding it, the nefesh comes before the multitude. The nefesh exists before the multitude. The multitude is an outgrowth of the nefesh. And when the understanding is in that fashion, memela ha-shaletes shayeches la. Memela, right, automatically, the ability of control, right, that the control is now pertinent to the soul. The soul can now take control. Like we said, the nefesh of a person, the soul of a person, is really the godliness that Hashem put within us. So the same way, along the same lines as Hashem's oneness, is also the concept of the soul. The soul is a similar idea. It's also it's that oneness, and that oneness, the importance of seeing the soul as a pure oneness, that's not built. That oneness is not just a collection of the of the multitude, right? But rather a oneness in of itself that happens to it happens to, from it stems forth and comes out a multitude of powers. It's a little bit, you know, if you want to understand the difference, it's a little bit like the difference between in the Gemara, the Karbonas, and it's find some different halachas. The difference between a tzibur and a shutfim. Right? Shutfim are partners. Shutfim are partners. So that means that you and I have 50% ownership over something. Right? If we're two partners, we have 50% ownership over something. If we're 10 partners, so each one has a tenth, let's say we're equal partners, we each have a tenth of ownership over that business. But a tzibur, even if a tzibur, let's say, is 10 people, community of 10 people, no individual has any particular percentage of ownership here. A tzibur is a single body that whole community owns that whole carbon, let's say. It's not a pshat that each one of us holds a tenth. No, each one of us has ownership over the entire thing, because our ownership doesn't stem from our being an individual or a part, right? It stems from us all together, all of us, each of us is a part of the community, and therefore we have a fullness, a wholeness in that carbon. That's a very big difference. Let's get to different halachas. That's the difference between sibur and shutfim. So the similar idea is that the oneness of Hashem and the oneness of our soul that we're talking about is the oneness of a tzibur, of a community. It's like, right, along those same lines. It's a oneness in of itself. It happens to have many different powers that are in there, but it's only in a fashion of pure oneness. Okay, it's only that we don't have any relationship. We don't look at the individual powers in it. We do see the individual powers as they stem and flow forth from that oneness. Okay, but that oneness is not defined by the multitude. Okay, the multitude is an outgrowth of that great oneness. The difference is that when it's flowing, if we understand that the nefesh is like that extension of Hashem, that's pure oneness, is then it has infinite control. But if it's built off of multitude, so multitude is automatically, like we mentioned, the idea of multitude is also the idea of separation, which means that there's an end to the thing. It's finite. Something that's a Baal Harkava, like we said, is made up of different parts. The Ramban says is going to die at some point. It's going to be destroyed at some point because it's finite. Separation is actually, we actually spoke about this in a different sense last week, right? Separation, fragmentation, is really the definition of physicality. Whereas oneness and unity is actually the definition of spirituality, of ever, which is nitzchias, which is forever, can't be destroyed. So and limitless. So if we understand the nefesh on its level of oneness, then we are able to understand. We're able to give the nefesh. Our nefesh will be able to give our soul control of our body, control of our different powers. Whereas if not, we're kind of bound by whatever powers we have or discern in it within ourselves, and we're very limited in what we can now do. The kitzonius, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe continues, extremism, shayeches rak biribuyim. It's a good piece for Parshas Matzai Shabbos, Parshas Pinchas. You know, like people misunderstand kanos, right? The zealousness to be an idea of extremism, right? It's like this. It's a famous misnomer that the two have are the same thing. It's, of course, we know that that's not true, but today, you know, what's referred to as kanos, is a misplaced extremism. And this is where he speaks about kitzonius now. Kitzonius extremism, which is the Rambam, that's what the Rambam is discussing in this parak dalet. Kitzonius extremism shayeches rak bi ribuyim mitrakzim bekatze umevlitim rak kse ze. Extremism is pertinent or applicable only where there's multitude that's centered at one extreme. Okay, by multitude, because it's there's a center, right? They're centering themselves at one extreme, and umavritim rakatzeze, and they're emphasizing only that end, only that extreme. In other words, extremism, of course, is holding tight and emphasizing one end of some kind of, right, of a line of midas. Okay, it's taking and it's focusing only on one side of something. Avo ba'achtos, but when it comes to unity, b'li ribuyim, where there's an issue of unity, where you have unity without multitude, ein makom l'kitzoni is klal. A true unity that's not built on just the fact that it holds within it the multitude, so there's no makom, there's no place for extremism. Balkein kol kitzoni is hurav lo tov. That's why the Rambam says it doesn't matter which direction you're extreme on, it's bad and not good. Right? If you're overly kind, according to the Rambam, it's also bad. It's right. It's inherently bad, because when you inherently are over to one side more than the other, it's inherently bad, not good. Because it's flowing out of a recognition of the multitude and an abandoning of the unity. Abandoning of the unity. Very, very often, there are figures. Like Rav Kook is a very prime example of this this mistake. If people, Rav Kook was a very complex person. That if you understand and you read enough of his works, you'll see this like unity within him, and it's mamish all encompassing. So many, I mean, maybe all the different midas, all different character traits. And what happens is, you might have certain people will overly focus on one aspect of him, or they'll over focus on another aspect. And many times I've heard this kind of like, oh yeah, he's full of contradictions. That's the take on him that a person has, is, oh, he's full of contradictions, because sometimes he writes like this, and sometimes he writes like that, and sometimes, you know. And the truth of the matter is that that's the biggest simon of the unity within him. Because every side of him that you'll see that looks to be contradicting is just in relation to a specific scenario, a specific sugya, right, a specific matter that's being discussed. And that's what the Jew has to have. He has to have that ability. He has to have that oneness of his nefesh, of his soul, that allows him to the versatility to act with different midas, with different character traits, depending on the situation. To be cruel all the time is a problem, and to be kind all the time is a problem. A person has to know, like that's actually the yisod of Parshas Pinchas. It's Pinchas is a Sam Sefer says a very nice thing, actually, on the sixth parasha. He says that Pinchas was given the bracha, was blessed with the kahuna, right, to become a kohen, and bris yishalom. He says those are two opposites, because the kahanim, we know, were people that were very hot. They had akpadas on each other, and they got into fights. The Gemara brings the Gemara. They were prone to fights because they were very hot. And shalom is the opposite. Peace is the opposite. So Sam Sefer says there are some people that have a natural tendency. They don't get. They're very humble, very laid back, and they don't get into fights with anyone. They never get angry. They're always chilled out. The negative side of that, Sam Sefer says, of course, is that when it comes to a time where you have to stick up for God and you have to stick up for His Torah, they're not going to do it either, because they're not going to get angry then either. They're just like very chilled. So that mitigates that mila, that advantage of being a calm person. Then there are other people who are always angry. They're all getting angry about everything, and which is also a problem. But you know, the upside is that where there's a fight for the Torah and Hashem, they're great to have on board. I mean, they really do the work. So that's like an upside to that trait. But Pinchas, he says, we see, after he did this tremendous, you know, courageous act of killing the Nasi of one of the Shvatim in the Jewish people, risking his life, you know, and he just goes in, and it's amazing the audacity to do that, such an amazing act, because he's zealous to protect the kavod of Hashem, the honor of Hashem. It's a chilul Hashem, what went on over there. And after that, they all make fun of him, and they all blast him. Ben Puti Zeh, this guy whose father great comes from over there, the Zara people, you know, comes from parents, and they're bashing him. And the Chassam Sefer says, and he just was meichel everyone, forgives everyone. He says that's the pshat. The next words over there after Bris Yisrael, veichapra al bnei Yisrael, that he was meichel to bnei Yisrael for bashing him and for speaking negatively about him. So he says that because Pinchas had that trait, that ability of opposites, where on the one hand he's the most humble person, doesn't take it to heart the fact that people, he doesn't get angry with us. On the other hand, when he needs to, he acts angry on behalf of Hashem. Therefore, he was zeichet to this. But then that's of course what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be at that level of achdus, where the multitude of possibilities of action and of character traits are all, we have the ability to express them, but we express them in the right time, the right place, right? Okay. So it says, Godol Talmud Shemevi L'dei Ma'isa. Somebody once pointed out to me that if you look at, a person pointed out, Rav Kook or Salvechik, or Yoshe Ber Salvechik, that you have certain gedolim. It's not true of all of them, but there are certain gedolim that have very multifaceted. They have a tremendous number of angles. It's usually they're unique individuals, and they have many, many different angles to them. And you almost never have a student who has that same, who has them all, like takes all the angles. You have one student that takes this aspect of him, one student takes that aspect of him. Well, let's say you're Rav Salvech, you have one student who's the Gemara halacha expert of him, and you'll have another one that's like the philosophy expert of him, and another one is gonna, you'll have like each one like takes what's shayach to them, what's shayach to their soul, to their sherish neshama. But to have like that unity of all the different facets in them, it's very, very uncommon. And then of course you get into like the questions of who's the real Gadol, you know, was he really this, was he really that, you know, this Talmud says he was like this, because each one is looking at him through their lenses. Now, Gadol Talmud Shemevi L'dei Ma'isa, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe quotes over here, Chazal, that learning is great because it brings a person to action. Famous Kasha. If that's the case, so it's implied that really action is greater, because the greatness of learning is in that it brings to action. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe now is coming to answer that the actions are many. Actions are, right, are many. Inherently, they're many. They're inherently, an action is something that's like separate, is something that has to do with separation. But learning is oneness. Learning is oneness. And from the one, like splinters off the multitude, meaning comes out from the one, the multitude. Hamona maasima yisharim v'shemitoch sheim novim me'atalmud ha'tori yichido tam shelachdus b'chol ha'maisim. The many straight and correct actions of a person, deeds of a person, and from the learning, from that Torah of oneness, that single Torah, then that those actions, that multitude of actions, have a taste of unity in all the actions, because they're straight and they're clear of any tendency to an extreme, to extremism. The Torah which is one without multitude, to the point that if it's missing even a single letter, it passes the Torah, right? And it passes the Torah. He kula toiv. So that Torah is completely good. The fact that one ois passes the Torah shows the oneness of the Torah. It's one thing, and you can't chip away at any part of it, because then you've taken away from that oneness. Ki mikivan shebaachdus in kitzonius. That makes it kula toiv. It's all good, since in oneness, there's no extremism. Bemele kula toiv. So Mamela, it's completely good. Ain't Tayyiv Elo Torah, like Chazal say, there's no good other than Torah. Shein Bo Kitzoni is called because it doesn't have any extremism in it. And this taste then spreads out and is tasted in all the correct deeds of a person. Vizel Godol Talmud. That's what it means that the learning, the Talmud is great. It's showing on its oneness. Similar to the difference between the weekdays and Shabbos. B'chol, on weekday, what do we say in the davening? Mar rabu masecha Hashem. How many are your actions, Hashem? Or the, what, your creations, Hashem? Or b'Shabbos, and on Shabbos we say, Magodlu masecha Hashem. How great, the difference between riboy, multitude, and goydol, is greatness. Right, the difference is that Rabu focuses on this, so there's so many. Godel is even that one small thing, how great it is. Like the mosquito, how great that creation is. So it's in the power of the learning to obligate and bring along the action. As opposed to the Taina of the philosophers, which we brought from the Maral once in Netzach Yisrael, how can multitude, they ask, how can multitude come from the one? Right? No, just the opposite. Hashem engraved, he carved into the universe, into existence, this ability. That the one actually obligates and necessitates multitude. Just that when they're already multiplying, so there's not even one without multitude. And to every single outgrowth is required a zivug, is required a coupling of two. V'lachena Talmud, and therefore the learning, shumei roza de'echa, learning Torah, which is from the side, from the secret of oneness, mechayev amon ma'asim rabim, it automatically obligates many, many actions. Obviously, ma'asim tovim. V'zeh barasi yitzar barasi le'tavlin. That's what it says. I created the Yitzhar. I created, again, for the Yitzhar, I created the tavlin, right, the spice that treats, so to say, that the Yitzhar. I'm a little bit rushed here, so I'll just read the last paragraph. Well, kamoichem binyan amidos, and similarly in the matter of midos, even though it's true that the purification of character traits is from the most difficult. Avoid this. Because there's a Talmud al Dvar Amidos Poel Harbe Alze. Nevertheless, the learning about Midos has a very big effect on this. Va'aliot Kitzoni Gambeze. And don't be extreme even in this. Be a Kavel or Chesed Hashem. And you should look forward and hope for the light of the Chesed Hashem. Ki lo yimna tov lo'ochli basamim. He won't hold back the good from those who go b'tmimus. Because the main difficulty that we have in working on our character traits is because of a certain tendency to going to some kind of extreme. We have some kind of pull in our midah to an extreme, right? We're not balanced. If we were fully balanced, then okay, there's no, wouldn't be any midah, wouldn't be any avoda. Right. Somebody might be more pulled toward anger. Somebody might be pulled more towards lust. Somebody might pull. Right? There's an imbalance here. There's an imbalance. That's where the avodah amidus is not necessary. The Talmud metaris aratzayin, and the learning purifies the will of a person. Well, marchiko mikitzonius, and distances himself and distances the person from being off imbalanced. Extreme to any direction. Extreme here is not just extreme to the end. It's off balance. Well, memela kol nasal mishar, and then like automatically everything becomes straight by the person. Ragle omdo mishar b'makelim avareches Hashem. My feet stand on the plane, the straight plane, in the makelim. I bless Hashem. So this is a very very chashuv thing. What he's saying over here is that it's the person doesn't think. Working on the midas is so difficult. The truth of the matter is, this is a very big issue that we're saying here, is that the very learning about midas, just learning away on Musar Sfarim and whatever it is the person is learning about, the Midas, the Nefesh of the person, that itself has a purifying effect on the person, because the learning itself is pumping into the person oneness. And the oneness has that influence on the Nefesh, on the person, that he becomes more balanced. He becomes, because the oneness is the secret of balance. So Mari de Gazach, an amazing, amazing, amazing idea over here. Right? So a lot of times people actually work the opposite. They say, what's the point? I'm going to learn this form, and I learn. It's so difficult, I can't do it anyway. I can't fulfill it. I'm not holding that. I can't do it. And they give up, and they stop learning. But the truth is that no, it's just the opposite. The learning, Godol HaTalmud HaNevi L'Idei Ma'aseh. If you learn, it's going to bring to those actions that you want to get to. It's a big for learning Musar Sfarim, for learning about the nefesh of the person. So yeah, there's hope, because and then that's how it works. It pumps into the person the Yaseida Achdus, the Seid of Achdus, which is the Roz and the Mitkala, Alfila Kabbalah. That's the Seid of balance. Exactly what the as Hashem. That's part of our goal here is learning about these things itself. It gives, and of course that makes it a lot easier on a person. That's okay, Shabbat, good luck, Shabbat Tov.